chapter 11. We're going to continue with exploring faith tonight, as we've been looking at for a while. Mark chapter 11. That's been our anchor text for the past few weeks. Mark chapter 11, we're looking at exploring faith. Alright. Verse 22. It says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." He said, that means have the God kind of faith. Okay, it says, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall unto this mountain be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Hallelujah. So we said that the emphasis in verse 23, because in verse 24 the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you." So therefore means that I'm saying this so that you can understand why this is so. In verse 24 it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them." And in that verse, we see the tenses of faith. The operation of faith in verse 4, sorry, verse 23, the tenses of faith in verse 24. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." How do we know his doubt in his heart is going to reflect in whatever he says? We've established that principle. How do you know a man is doubting his heart? You can't see the heart of a man. The only way you can see the heart of a man is in what comes out of a man's heart. Mouth. Hallelujah. Keep your hand there. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Verse 35. Matthew 12, verse 35. Okay. It shows us a principle. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things." Did you see that? So it says, "A good man out of the good treasure." The word treasure there means something stored up, something accumulated over time. So it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things." So the Bible says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart." Faith will still work when you are doubting in your head. But faith will not work when you are doubting in your heart. It is the heart that controls the mouth. It is not faith if it is not heart and mouth agreement. That's what I'm saying tonight. When for it to be faith, there has to be an agreement between the heart and the mouth. So notice in that verse 23, it gives us the secret of how you can get your heart to agree. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." And we establish the fact that what you say is far more important than what others say. The Bible doesn't guarantee that you will have what others say. But the Word of God guarantees that you can have what you say. So it says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain," the mountain is a particular challenge that you're facing, "be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." So we know that the doubt in the heart is one thing that can contaminate the expression of the person's faith. That also means that when you're practicing faith, as long as you keep saying, in the process of saying, you will eventually find out whether doubt is inside or faith is, or you're full of faith, or faith is abundant inside of you. Because when he says, "shall not doubt in his heart," he's not just talking about a thought. The only thing we can tell that you're doubting is if the doubt enters your mouth. Hallelujah. So notice what is just said. "Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt," or "whosoever shall say and shall not stop saying," or "shall not say differently." What are you going to say? "Be thou removed, be thou cast out." I will not change that confession, but shall believe. So we said the process of believing can be engineered by constant saying. By constant saying. The process of believing can be engineered by constant saying. That means your mouth is feeding your heart with the truth of God's word. And over time, when do you know faith is fully alive? When your mouth, heart begins to feed your mouth. So it's a continuous process. Your mouth starts feeding your heart. When does it begin to work? When your heart starts feeding your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see a person can start out in faith and not complete the process. We've seen that, isn't it? We saw how Peter stepped and walked on the waters, and when he saw the winds boisterous, which we're going to look at later on, because you will see the place of imagination in helping your faith. The place of imagination in helping our faith. Because doubt can come because of images that appear in the mind. So verse 24 now says, therefore I say unto you, or because of what you have been saying, desire the works. What things ever you desire when you pray. Now pay attention. It says, when you pray. What things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them. And you shall what? Have them. Now that is important. The faith of the New Testament is not based on the promises of God. I'm going to say that again. The faith of the New Testament doesn't function by a promise of something God will do for you. The faith of the New Testament is based on what is written that God has done for you. We can't afford to miss it. The faith of the Old Testament saints was based on what God promised he will do. But a New Testament saint's faith is based on what God has done. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 19. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was what? Yea. Now, yes, Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Paul is saying, we are not devising stories. We're not telling you something that is sometimes true and sometimes not true. It's in this, when it says Son of God, there is a short way of talking about the gospel or what Jesus accomplished. So say, when we preach the Son of God, it means we preach the gospel to you. What do we preach? We preach that Jesus died and that it was buried, and after 3 days he rose again, and that he's ascended. That's what I mean by we preach the Son of God to you. So it was not sometimes the only, which is we preach with absolute conviction and certainty. So look at what it says. Next verse, verse 20. For all the promises of who? Of God. In who? In him. They are what? Yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So Paul says, the gospel we brought to you, what we declared to you was that all the promises of God, they are what? Yes, and amen. When it comes to the faith of Abraham, the promise of God were not yes and amen. They were off in Abraham's future. But the believer's faith is not hinged on what God will do. It is hinged on what God has what done. That's so important. Because when you read Mark 11, 24, it says, whatsoever you desire, whatever you're desiring, whatever it is you're desiring, thank you. Whatever you're desiring is something that is already done. Whatever is that, when you pray, what are you meant to believe that you have received them? It now says, then you shall have. Now, let me explain. What you're believing has been done. Your believing that you receive is now. Your having is then. Three tenses. What you are believing to receive has been given. Your receiving is when you pray. That's present tense. Your having is future. Hallelujah. So your faith is not starting where Abraham's faith started. And we're going to look shortly at one or two scriptures about where Abraham's in. And that's why I took time to explain to us that Hebrews 11 is a chronicle of the faith of the Old Testament saints. Look at Hebrews 11 again from verse 1. Let's look at what kind of definition of faith is he talking about, so that you won't misunderstand it. Hebrews 11 from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Next verse. For by it, the one held us. Who are the elders? He's going to mention them one by one. He will talk to you about Abel. He calls your attention to Noah. He lets you know about Enoch. He speaks about Abraham. This is both by this kind of faith, these elders obtained a good report. Or their testimonial was marked right. So, it says, for by this faith, what faith? Faith, which is the substance of what they were hoping for. And the evidence of what they had not seen. Their faith substantiated what they were hoping for. What were they hoping for? The resurrection of Jesus. Did it take place in their time frame? No. Did they believe it? Yes. What we call their believing, it was in the future. So their faith was a substantiating of what they were hoping for. It was the evidence of what they didn't see. Hallelujah. You understand? For by it the elders obtained what? A good report. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Next verse. For by faith Abel offered unto God what? A more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it he being dead, he yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see dead, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before ascension he had testimony that what? Please God. So notice, their faith was a substantiation of what they were hoping for. The sacrifice that Abel offered was meant to point to Christ. What was Abraham saying by that? Abel saying by that sacrifice, that which will redeem him will not come from him, it will come outside of him. Which is what salvation in Christ stands for. Hallelujah. If I'm moving too fast, just signal for me to slow down. Is it clear? Do you understand so far? Okay, so Enoch also believed. Enoch experienced a type of the rapture. He was alive and was taken away alive. It's a type of the rapture. Was that event planned for his age? No. Did he believe there was such an event? Yes. So his faith was a substantiation of those things. Hallelujah. Do you understand now? Okay, so the faith that they had, go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, let's read from verse 18. It will become a bit clearer now. Now, this is Abraham now, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Yeah. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Did you see that? Now, we're going to look at verse 21 again. What was Abraham's persuasion? What God had promised. What did God promise? That Abraham will have a son. What God had promised, God was able also to what? Perform. What does the word promise mean here? It speaks of a future event, something that God will bring to pass. Hallelujah. What was Abraham's faith like? We have the definition of it in Hebrews 11:1. Abraham's faith was the substance of the things he was hoping for. Where did the hope come from? From what God said. What did God say? So shall your seed be. Hallelujah. Are you following? So what Abraham believed, that what God has promised, he was able also to what? Perform. So let me ask a question. Had God performed it? Had God performed it? No. Maybe you need to understand my question. When Abraham was believing, had God performed it? No. That was why he believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Is that how our own faith works? No. We believe that what God promised, he has performed. So you are not saying God is able to perform. You know he has performed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me use another phrase now. They look forward to the cross. We look back at the cross. They look forward to what will happen. We look back at what has happened. Our faith is in what God has done. So we're not trusting, we're not just saying God is able to. We know he's able to because of what he has already done. What God promised was what gave Abraham faith of what God was able to. What God has done is what gives us faith for what God is able to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, if you understand the simple difference between their faith and our faith, you will know that in Christ, God is not going to heal you. We may say things like, God will heal you. We are not wrong. We are right. What we are really saying is this. The healing that God has given you in Christ will be made manifest. But in effect, God has healed you. Because when he gave you Christ, he gave you all that pertains to Christ. And else is in Christ. So you have two postures, which has to do with the position in your mind based on the revelation of God's word. What's that position? There's one position that says that when God is ready, he will do something. There's another position. Knowing God has done something, I stand my ground, I receive it. When did he do it in the past tense? When did I receive it now? When will it manifest? Then. Should I say that again? When do I believe that God healed? He made healing available for me. That was then. You got saved. Healing and everything came together in one package. You may not be aware of it, but it came together at once. God doesn't give you Jesus, had healing, had wisdom, had intelligence. No. The Bible says Christ has been unto us wisdom, righteousness, and what? Sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Is that clear? So, now look at it this way. Look at what Abraham's faith was like. Abraham believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So his faith is in, since God said it, he will do it. Now, if you are going to quote what Abraham said, how will you quote yours? Whatever God has said is what he has done. Can you see the difference? So, I always say it this way. The epistles are not a revelation primarily of what God will do. They're a revelation of what God has done. When you hear, and you as he quickened, that's past tense. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the principle of the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So you as he quickened is one past tense. He's not going to quicken you if you're in Christ. He has one quickened you. So the epistles are written to reveal what God has done. The Old Testament books of the scriptures were written to reveal what God will do. So, by the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul tells us, all the promises of God, what's referring to? Old Testament prophecies. You can call them prophecies, you can call them promises. He said, in Christ they are now, yes, and what? Amen. They are no longer in the realm of what God will do. They are now in the realm of what God has done. So, Mark 11:24 that says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you what? Have received them. Now, when we say God will do, and a believer has received, here's what we're saying. We're saying that in Christ, God has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. When you are praying to believe, you are not believing that God will move. That's what most of us think. In fact, what God did in Christ is so complete that you may even have a vision that Jesus appeared and laid hands on you. What is Jesus doing? Manifesting your faith. It is not that when he appeared to you in the vision, is that, since you have called for me, I brought your healing. No, your healing is in him. What is the vision showing you? A manifestation of your faith. I don't know if you get what I'm saying to you. The vision is a manifestation of your faith. It's like somebody saying, the day I confess Jesus is Lord is when God paid the price for my salvation. That's when Jesus went to the cross. No. The day you confess Jesus as Lord, you couldn't confess Jesus if salvation wasn't already available. The availability of salvation made it possible for you to believe. So in the New Testament, a man believes after the fact. He doesn't believe for the fact to be. I'm going to use as many phrases as possible to explain to you. A man does not believe in the New Testament for something to be. He believes something already is. Hallelujah. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Do you understand so far? Is it clear? Okay, should I go over that again? Because We have a struggle sometimes. For instance, now, you know the scripture says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved." Question: have you been saved? Okay. If you, which one is greater, salvation or healing? Were people healed before Jesus went to the cross? Were people healed after? Okay. If we were healed, were people saved before Jesus went to the cross? So which one is greater, the healing or the salvation? So can we say healing is part of salvation? Okay. So if you receive the greater gift, the healing is a lesser gift. If God has done salvation, He's not going to do healing. He has done healing. For healing, let me say something that most of us understand. When Jesus healed on the earth, what He was doing was this. He was doing to people's physical bodies what He would do to their spirits by salvation. Should I say that again? He was doing to people's physical bodies what He was going to do to their spirits when He rose from the dead. So when you hear, "By His stripes we are healed," I don't really want to go into that tonight. It was not a reference to physical healing, really. It was a reference to the healing of man's spirit. How do you heal a man's spirit? He has to be reborn. You have to purge man's spirit by the Spirit of God. That spirit has to be reborn entirely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Jesus healed men physically to signify something greater. That man has a greater problem than physical healing. Physical healing is a pointer to the spiritual state of man. So whatever affliction you see in his body is calling your attention to the fact that his spirit is not in tandem with God. Why do men still fall sick? Why do we fall sick? Because we're in a fallen world. What does it mean to be a fallen world? It means we are living side by side with sickness, diseases, pathogens, germs, bacteria flying in the air. This is not the earth that God created. How many of you understand that? Okay. How many of you know that the rain that you are seeing now is not a creation of God? This is Adam messing up. I hope you know that. You're not convinced. Oh my God, you're not convinced. The rain you are seeing now, see, if God is in control of rain, you won't be seeing flood. You won't be seeing tornado, hurricane. What you are seeing is a heart convulsing under the weight of Adam's transgression. So where is God's role in the rain? When rain is meant to come and it doesn't come and people call on God, God hates man for rain to come. That means the rain is not even obeying God. Because if it was obeying God all the time, you won't have places where there is death and famine. No. So men have to believe God so that supernaturally God's power can cause rain to fall. It is not because God is stopping the rain, it is because of the state of the earth. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? So when you see Jesus on the sea rebuking the storm, he's telling you this storm is not the creation of God. This is nature rebelling against mankind because of Adam's transgression. What does man do? Man seeks divine intervention to control the forces of nature that are rebelling against man. But because a lot of people don't know, everything that happens that looks unusual, they call it the act of God. How can hurricane be the act of God? Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane. They have funny names. How can that be the act? Think about it. The recent rains now, in some places, some people can't even sleep in their houses. Is that bad? And you think God is behind that? No! That is the heart getting hold. Corrupted by man's influence. The heaven, even the heavens, belong to the Lord our God. But the earth has he given to the children of men. And when he gave it, the first man he gave it to messed up. So instead of walking on the earth, listen, the last man or the second Adam came and walked on man's heart. It is his work in our hearts that we demonstrate by faith and control the head. So a man can stand in his own city, in his own town, in his own house, and say, "Storm, thus far have you gone, no further." What did Jesus do? He brought us back in the place of authority. Hallelujah. That's what he did. So, what is the uniqueness of the New Testament faith? That faith is this: you are not believing in what God will do. You are believing what God has done. You have the chronicle of the things that God has done in him, that's Christ. All the promise of God are now what? Yes and amen to the glory of God. So what you call the promise is something God has already accomplished now in Christ Jesus. So when he now tells you what things ever you desire, when you pray, what you're desiring, you must have seen in scripture that it has been done, it has been wrought. So you believe it was done in the past tense. You receive the experience of it now. You have the manifestation of it later. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand what I just said? So you notice the three tenses. It has been done. It is received now. Why are you receiving? It has been done already. Look at John chapter 3, verse 34. I need you to understand this. I have not even gotten to our text fully, or the area we're supposed to look at today, but this is important. No, this is not where I'm going. Is it verse 33? Now, let's see that. I'm looking for God that says that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Is that John chapter 3? A man can receive nothing. Have you seen it? Sorry? Verse. Have you found it? Is it 27? 27? Okay. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just brought it to my heart. It's like 27. Okay, see what it says. A man can what? Except it be. Let me ask you a question. What do you think God will give if God is going to give you something? What did God give Abraham that we call promise? His word, isn't it? So, if God is going to give you a child, what will you think he will give you? Why will God give you a word in place of a child? Because he doesn't manufacture children. He gives you the ability to bring forth children. When you're not seeing the children brought forth, you need divine intervention. Divine intervention is God now assisting you to bring forth what you should naturally bring forth because he has enabled every man. Do you understand? Now, so when it comes to giving, I'm using children as an example. What will God give you when he wants you to have a child? Since you may be having difficulty having one, he will give you his word. What did he give to Abraham? His word. What did he tell Abraham? A father of nations have I made thee. Notice the way God said it. He didn't say, will I make thee? Have I made thee? So even God taught Abraham to call his fatherhood in the past tense. Look at it this way. Abraham, you are going to have a child. I'll make it possible. You are a father of multitude. Then when God now said it, he said, I have already made you. So every time you hear Abraham, father of multitudes, can you see the multitudes? No. Physically. Are you a father of multitudes? Yes. What is that name meant to do? Convince you, persuade you, bring you to the full agreement that you already are. Hallelujah. You understand that? So, what God did with Abraham was that God worked on Abraham's heart. Remember, whosoever shall say shall not doubt, but shall believe. Those which he said shall come to pass. He shall have. He shall have. So, a man that is calling himself father of multitudes, and he's not physically father of multitudes, but he's not just saying that's wishful thinking, he is saying it because God said so. That's faith. That's faith. Why would Jesus stand and say, storm be still? Because Jesus knew the storm wasn't the will of God. But there are two things you can do. You can look at the storm, allow the ferocity of the wind to get into your heart, and say, storm, I hope you be still. Will anything happen? No. You know, it's interesting. Jesus didn't say, whosoever shall say on this mountain, mountain, God said you should move. Whosoever shall say, the mountain recognizes God. God wants the mountain to recognize you as one who has authority. So shall not doubt in his heart is a work that every believer does. You will not doubt in your heart. Not that you will not have reason to doubt, but it says the process will be complete when the doubt or thoughts of discouragement, it doesn't enter your mouth. So, whosoever shall say, shall not doubt. Whosoever shall say, shall not doubt. What did Abraham hear? a father of nations, have I made thee? Did he have any child? No. What has God made him? A father of nations. God was teaching Abraham, whatever I call you is what you are, whether it is a physical sign or not. A man can receive nothing except it is given. So where does our faith start from? From what is given. Health is given. Increase is given. Children are given. Blessings are already given. Where does it start from? You want to receive. What things you ever desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Where should your desire spring from? From what God has given. I don't know if it, is it getting clearer? Your desires to spring forth from what God has what? Given. That's I tell people, you're trusting God for a relationship. How should you pray? Can you have challenges in any of your relationship? Just like I have challenges in your getting married, you have challenges in your having children, you can't have challenges anywhere. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with that man called Adam. And some people are planning to beat him when they say, you trust that they walk in spirit. No, there are things that happen to people, you cannot find any explanation. That's why that brother is not fine. That's why it starts like, no. You have not seen men that are really good looking. And they can't hold that relationship. You are even thinking, he must have one behavior like that. You get around, you can't find any behavior. You see a lady, so all those natural thoughts that people think, you are just like the disciples of Jesus in John chapter 9. When they saw a man that was blind, they asked Jesus, who did sin? Imagine the first that came, this man or his parents? Very ridiculous question. First of all, the man was born blind. You say, who did sin? The man. So the man sin in the womb, maybe? When you don't know the reason for a thing, stop proposing theories. Or why it's again. Say, it's the man must have sinned. You know, it must be the parents. Then Jesus said something amazing. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus was not saying the man was sinless. He wasn't saying the parents had never sinned. He was saying that is not the reason for the man's predicament. So what's the reason? He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day. For the night coming when no man can walk. What was you saying? This is one of the reasons why I came. To undo the works of darkness. This is part of the works of darkness. That means the man was irresponsible. Genetic malfunction is a function of the fall of Adam. So men sometimes need to be assisted. If I'm going to believe God for a life partner, for instance, now, imagine me, if I'm going to say, oh God, send me man, I'm going to start the process. That means I'm asking that the lady will be born now. When will we meet? But the person is already existing. And the next verse, it says, I'm being not weak in faith. How do we know Abraham was not weak in faith? The definition is in that verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was an abundant years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That is serious. The word considered not is not to ignore. The word considered doesn't mean you ignore medical facts. No. The word considered not means that you don't put medical facts above the authority of what was spoken. You know, sometimes people think that they are in faith when they ignore medical facts. The Bible is telling you here that Abraham knew that his body was dead. Abraham knew that Sarah's womb was dead. The word dead there for Abraham simply means that he was not potent. The word dead for Sarah means that she was not fertile. And if you read Romans alone, you won't know that not just Abraham's faith worked, Sarah's faith was also included. Because in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Oh, I had a testimony, beautiful testimony, of a lady who complained about the fact that the doctors have said her husband has low sperm count. Okay, so that he's weak. So, and the minister told her, no problem, strengthen your own eggs and receive his own palm. And everything will be fine. So just pray, believe God, that you receive strength. Sarah received strength. You know what it means to receive strength when it's conceived? She was past age, means that it wasn't menopause, but his menopause stopped. She received strength when she was passing. It means that it had stopped being with after the manner of women. So the indicators that a woman can conceive was no longer there. Now, when indicators were there, she wasn't able to conceive. Now indicators are no longer there. She received strength to conceive means that it wasn't Abraham's faith alone, it was mutual faith. Abraham's faith worked, Sarah's faith worked. She received strength to conceive. I don't even get what I'm saying. So Sarah's faith was active. It wasn't passive. She received strength. When Sarah was 90, she believed what God had said and received strength to conceive, that is, to carry from conception to delivery. So the first area was conception, which is our body became strengthened. Hallelujah. Our body became strengthened. So it wasn't just his faith, it was also our faith. She received strength to conceive, and says by faith. She judged God to be faithful. By faith. So, again, look at that verse 19 concerning Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. So, many times, there are things you cannot afford to focus on when you say you are believing. There are physical signs that you will have to learn to overcome when you say you are believing. Somebody says, why? That is how doubt enters your heart. He considered not. When you have a formula in your mind about how it will work, you don't see the parameters present. That's how doubt starts coming. He concerned his own body. What right he concerned his body? His body was now dead. He said, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, when he was an unborn year old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Giving what? Did Abraham doubt? Yes. Did Abraham allow his doubt to take over his belief? No. How do we know? How do you know that you are in doubt? This is a man that God told you, a father of multitudes. After a while, if doubt has entered, you tell them, stop mocking me with that name. I mean, you know Abraham's name was a prophecy of his reality. So he said, stop mocking me with that name. Do you see any children here? Father of multitude. You can imagine how many times Abraham had his name called, particularly by his wife. And God had already told him, start calling her Sarah. Because she was bearing Sarah before. Now start calling her Sarah. So both were practicing faith, using the authority of God's word, what God had said. In chapter 15 of Genesis, we won't go there today. But one of the things God did for Abraham was this. God knew one of the things that delayed the manifestation of what God said to Abraham was what Abraham was seeing or his imagination. So God told him, come out of that tent. Look up. If you can count the stars, so shall your seed be. What was God doing? Engaging Abraham's mind so that the images he will see will not be that of childlessness but of fruitfulness. Hallelujah. So, what you see matters when you are processing faith. Don't think whatever comes to your mind has no effect on your faith. It does. What you're seeing, at the time God was speaking to him in Genesis 15, he had spoken to him in Genesis 12. That is when the promise came. So, by Genesis 15, there was no manifestation. In fact, what Abraham told God is, what will you give me seeing I go childless? What was Abraham seeing? Childlessness. What did God say? Come out of the tent. Look to the sky. If you can number the stars, so shall your seed be. What was God doing? Working on Abraham's mind. So when you're processing your faith, whatever you're building and looking at really matters. If you're going to see manifestation. Because that Mark 11, 23, that says, and shall not doubt in his heart. A lot of times it occurs by either what you hear or what you see. Hallelujah. Either what you hear or what you see. Listen. When Jairus placed a demand, Mark chapter 5, on Jesus, and told Jesus, my daughter lies at the point of death. But come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall be healed, and she shall live. The minute the woman with the issue of blood came around and received her healing, by verse 35, the Bible says, there came people from Jairus' house who told him, trouble not the faster any further, for your daughter is now dead. The meaning Jesus had, he didn't turn to the people, he turned to Jairus. Fear not, only believe. What was that instruction meant to do? What did you say, Jairus, when you came to call me? Your daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall live. Fear not, only believe simply means don't say anything contrary to what you have said before. How many of you have noticed that sometimes when you say certain things, your faith seems to be stronger sometimes than the other? At the time when your faith is not so strong, it's not the time to keep to say anything else. It's the time not to say anything at all. Because whatever you have said before is sufficient many times. Sometimes when your faith level is now down, I start speaking, it may affect you in the presence of faith. When Jesus told him, don't be afraid, only believe. See what it says. Said unto them, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe simply means stay with what you have believed. How do I know what you believe? What you said. Don't change it. Why did the news come? So that Jairus can say something different. What did Jairus say in summary? She will live. What did they say? She's dead. What will the news make you think? Jesus, is this woman that you lead us? If you had not ministered to this woman, you would have got it to my daughter. Now it's too late. Once Jairus says that, Jesus can't help Jairus any further. So when Jesus said, be not afraid, or don't let fear enter your mouth. What did you say that brought me up? You said she will live. What you said is enough. It has started the process. The power of God is coming on two legs to your house. Don't say anything else. How many of you understand that? Don't say anything else. What you said then is enough to get the job done. That's what Jesus was saying. So, sometimes the process of faith is not every time you just confess. There's a time when you just keep quiet. Because there are points when you know that your faith in expression is not as strong as when you first started out. Because you are seeing signs that looks different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So what do you do at that time? Only believe means don't say anything contrary to what you have said. Just leave it the way things are. So when Jesus said, be not afraid. Another word for be not afraid is don't speak fear. What they said now will produce fear. I know fear came to you that she's dead. Don't say it. Oh, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. That's the word of God admonishing you, telling you, don't say anything different. Why? The image matters. What you are hearing matters. What you see matters. When Peter got out of the ship to walk on water, Jesus, Bible says, he seeing the wind boisterous, was afraid, beginning to sink. It is not natural to walk on water. So walking on water was a function of what Peter heard. After he heard, then he saw something contrary to what he had heard. What did he see? The wind is boisterous. Maybe what I said I would do is not possible. But he was already doing it. So the difference was that he allowed what he saw to what? Enter his heart. Hallelujah. That's one of the reasons why sometimes when you are processing your faith, you have to be careful about who you tell. You tell some people, they will puncture the balloon of your faith entirely. They make you think that it is not done. In fact, they say, in this economy, are you sure you are making sense? Be content with only, and they will lower the standard for you. Whatever you have declared, Jesus said you can have what you say. Brothers and sisters, let me say something to you. It was Dr. Charles Capps that said this. He said one day when he was praying in the spirit, Jesus told him about the subject of faith because he taught faith love before he passed on. But when he said, I said to my people, they can have what they say, but they are saying what they have. I said they can have what they say, but the problem, they are saying what they have. That means, instead of them to say what they desire, they are saying what they are experiencing. And that's where the problem is. When you are walking in faith, people will come to you and say, let us face the truth. What is the truth? Let us face reality. Who told you that's my own reality? Let me tell you the truth. There's no job in this country. Mm-mm. That's what statistics is telling you. For me, there will always be jobs. So they will come with, my brother, let's face reality now. To get married now in the world. But do you know the Bible says there are now seven women to one man? That means men are scarce. But people, but there's no weekend in Lagos, people are not getting married. There's no weekend. Ah, Pastor, why are you not getting married? Ah, so we're trusting God. Oh, in the next 2 years, because we don't know. Because, in fact, wedding now, people are getting married every weekend in Lagos. You can't find one weekend. Where are they getting money from? It's faith. I tell everybody who's trying to get married, I said that they don't gather money for wedding in one place. Set dates. Money will come. You don't set date by faith. You are thinking, you know, just have one check. You'll be there for a long time. The young couple that came to me that I want to get my sisters, I said, I pray you don't be like me. I'm getting married on Saturday. It's Friday. I'm buying shoes for wedding. I'm buying shirt and tie I will wear. Thank God they have done suit before. It is Friday. I entered Lagos in the middle of the night. My wedding is next day. I'm leaving Ibadan. We're hustling. And it was faith. And it wasn't going to be faith if there was no activity. Every activity I was doing was because I knew God said, go ahead. And when God said, you're not sat down waiting, you just bring your offering. You are waiting, wasting time. You step out. It will never look like it's possible. That's why Abraham is the father of faith. They told you what he did. He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't consider his own, but that means there was something that told him this is not possible. In hope, he hoped against hope. That means there was no natural hope. He took supernatural hope from God's word. Natural hope is that, when we check the statistics, sometimes at least out of 10 people, 3 people at your age can see father a child. The Bible says against hope. There was no such hope. Everybody knew he was past age. Everybody knew Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham himself knew that his own body was lifeless. So against hope, he believed in hope. What was his hope? What God had said. According to what God said, so shall your seed be. So even the hope Abraham had was supernatural hope that came from what God had said. That is, everybody tells you it's not possible. Your body is not possible now. There is somebody who said, this is possible. That's supernatural hope. God said, Abraham, is as I've said. He didn't say, a father of nations will I make you. A father of nations have I made thee. Hallelujah. That's supernatural hope. Okay. A father of nations have I made thee. That's what Abraham believed. So he concerned his own body, which was not. So you will have to shift your focus and your attention from the things that can contaminate your faith and can affect the expression of your faith. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 17. Verse 13 first. We having, hallelujah, the same spirit of faith. So, in principle, what we are passing through is what many of the Old Testament is also passed through. Because this is a quotation from David. This was actually taken from Psalm 116. We have, and David was once saying, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is what? Written. Where does your faith start? From what is written. According as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. Can you see that? That is the spirit of faith. It starts from what is written. We take what is written, we put it on our lips, and we declare it. Now, go all the way to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but of a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So, can a believer, having the spirit of faith, look at things that are not seen? Can you look at things that are not seen? Yes. How do you look at things that are not seen? You gaze at God's word. And images of what you are reading form your consciousness. Why we look not at the things which are seen? This is the reason why we shift our focus from what it seems. Because the things which are seen, they are temporal or subject to change. So, but the things which are not seen, they are what? Eternal or of heavenly origin. The promises of God fulfilled in Christ Jesus are of heavenly origin. We have the epistles to reveal to us that these things are done. They won't be done. They are done. So, where does our faith spring from? For what is already done? We focus on what I'm trying to get, I've already been given. Glory to God. What I'm trying to get, I've already been given. If you are going to get it and it hasn't been given, your journey is long. Your journey is already long. Your journey is long. That's why most of the time, say I have faith. I have the same spirit of faith at work in the saints. It's at work in me today. I have the faith of Jesus. My faith is effectual in communication. I acknowledge that what God has done is already done. That what God has settled is already settled. That what has God has given, I already have. So to receive is you taking from the invisible realm what has been released to you and bringing about a manifestation. That's what a believer's faith is about. It can take different forms, but what you are doing, it's manifestation. I use faith for finances a lot. I don't know about you. I use faith for finances a lot, yes, because in this Nigeria, you need it. Because I have two options, to complain or to confess. You choose one. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips, and with the increase of his mouth shall he be filled. So I know that the issue is not the supply. The issue is not the willingness of God. The issue is I am the establishing witness. God's word is clear. Satan has an opinion. The world has ideas. I choose which one to embrace. Any of the three I embrace becomes my reality. How do I embrace it? Whosoever shall say. So Satan knows man has to say. So what Satan does is that he comes to you, manipulates his environment to give you something to say. If he can get into your mouth, it will enter your heart. How will he get into your mouth? It will come to your thoughts. If you embrace it and you start seeing it, after a while, it becomes a reality you embrace. It doesn't mean that's what God wants you to have. It simply means that's what you have settled for. Because the man, heart of man does not discriminate as far as seed is concerned. And the word you're speaking, the seed you're planting. So you are careful about what you say. Hallelujah. So Satan knows. See, how did he come into the garden? As God said. What did God say before Satan came? Yes. What did God say? Of every tree you shall eat. But of this. So what did Satan came? As God said. Why was he saying that? So that man can say something. That's all that happened. Genesis 2, Genesis 3, that's what happened. God has said. The enemy comes, as God said. Who's the last person to speak? Man. What did he do? He spoke wrong. And that was all. So when God said, it didn't come to pass. When Satan said, it didn't come to pass. When man said, manifestation. The principle is still the same. So Satan will give options. God's word is crystal clear. In the New Testament, it is blood bought and blood washed. It is backed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Will you say? I said something 2 Sundays ago when I talked about Psalm 91. I may not remember. That part that says, your truth shall be my shield and my what? Buckler. How many of you remember what I called truth? That's why you need to go back. What did I call truth that day? He that dwelleth in the secret of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. What's the next verse? Surely he shall, from the son of the father and from the noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his what? Your trust. His truth shall be your, I'm your. The word truth is the word faithfulness. Yes. That's what truth stands for. Faithfulness. Say faithfulness. Okay. What does faithfulness mean? What God has done before, he can repeat. What God has done before, he can repeat. I will repeat. Do you understand now? So it says his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You know, that's a simple way of explaining faith. What do you need in your life? Testimonies of what God has done. What can you trust God to do to repeat it? That's what he's saying there. Paul says, he delivered us from so great a debt and does deliver. In whom we trust, he will yet deliver. He's telling you a believer's deliverance is not coincidental. God's supply in your life is not accidental. It is Satan that tries to tell you it's accidental. That's why there is no such thing as luck. It's the creation of the devil. The root word of luck is Lucifer. How many of you believe in luck? I got lucky. How? I saw a small video clip. I like watching this kind of movie. And they wrote 20 luckiest people alive. And they showed a video that showed how they escaped death by inches. I mean, tenth of a second. Like somebody just moved a little bit and something crashed where the person was standing. And they now said, the 20 luckiest people alive. Which luck? That was the work of angels. Do you understand? There's no such thing as luck. What we call coincidence is things happening simultaneously about the same time, but they're actually orchestrations of God's power. That was what David, that was what David counted on when he said, when your servant was with the father's sheep, the lion came and the bear came. The same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear will deliver you into my hands. What's he counting on? His truth was David's shield and buckler. You know what they say? You are no different from the lion and the bear. No difference. In my natural strength, I couldn't have killed the lion. I couldn't have killed the bear. So I know God was at work. So why won't he be at work now that I'm facing you also? That's what they were saying. That truth was David's shield and buckler. So he's saying that even in that, there's a repetition. God's ability is demonstrated in what he has done, which clearly tells you what he will do. Hallelujah. You can tell you what you do. You know, some years ago I was in the situation, I was my car. I think it was a shaft or so. I had an issue in the night, middle of the night. I was on Ikeja overhead bridge. Middle of the night, and there were touts, miscreants all around that area. Night. Everything around me said, you will sleep here tonight. This car, you will sleep here. By the time you come in morning, you will have been vandalized. All you find is steering wheel. The car couldn't go. Because it's night. Where we get mechanic? So, what was I saying? Not that he has given his angel charge over me. I have favor with men. He has given his angel, this car is going home tonight. I got home to one. My wife was the one who was waiting for me. I got home to one. I could have given it that thought. Let me just believe God that the car will be protected. But something just told me, stay with what you've been saying. This car is going home tonight. I looked everywhere. No way I could get a mechanic around that area. But I kept saying, this car is going home tonight. He gives angels charge over me. I have favor on me. A man passed around past 11 in a car parked in front, came back and just happened to be a mechanic. Do you see things are happening? It's not just happening, he happens to have tools in his car. He came. Meanwhile, one of the reasons that made that thing difficult to believe was because, like Abraham, who considered the deadness of Sarah's womb, the issue that happened with the car, I knew what the issue was. Then I was using the under. The way the shaft connects with the ball and socket is such that it's so technical, it won't even slip in naturally. They have to oil it and carefully, it will take time. So beyond believing that the guy will come, the guy had to have enough expertise. The guy had to be headed supernaturally. Everything was done. I got home to one, but the car went home that night. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Now, I can't have a car issue I'll be thinking, what if nothing happens? No, if he delivered you before, he will deliver you again. Because it doesn't cost him anything. The only thing that can change the situation is if you are not saying the same thing. That's one of the reasons why. Let me tell you how to know Satan is on your case. When he tells you the last miracle you experience is a coincidence, just know it's on your case. How many of you have heard that before? It just happened. It can't happen to anybody. And that tells you that Ibrahim in the next house, he was not helped. What makes it? Yeah. What about Sekiru? Sekiru expect, was he a believer? Don't deceive yourself. It wasn't God. It just happened. He is working on you. Why? He doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to trust in God's truth as your shield and buckler. That's what's going on. So wise up fast. Wake up quickly. Understand what's going on. This is the game. Has God helped you before? He will help you again. Oh, he will help you again. And he will do it supernaturally. Have you been in a tight corner? You know you need a miracle. Don't let us even boast too much. It was as though you didn't even have faith. How many of you have been there? I can't even. But it came true for you. It will come true again. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. It will come true. Hallelujah. It will come true. When it comes to God's consistency and man's faithfulness, which one can you rely on the most? God's consistency. It is man who is always thinking, by now God must be tired. And God is always thinking, you have not seen enough. You need to see more. I will change your mind by staying faithful to you until you can tell my name is faithfulness. Hallelujah. So if you're believing him for anything, even if the years if you have gone through a crusade, I started in February, forget about the time. If he is faithful and consistent, you can take his word to the bank. It won't fail. If you don't change, the word won't fail. Hallelujah. Let the word of God have that kind of room in your heart. Don't let go. Don't let go. Stay with it. The reason why we have stories in the scriptures, I remember the story of Anna. I hope you're not just reading 1 Samuel, you just see chapter 1, chapter 2, you just think it just happened. No. Mama says that she went to Shiloh year in, year out. So it wasn't 1 year that she was looking for a child, year in, year out. The only difference about that year was that in the place of prayer, she connected with something. There was a prompting on the inside, which is obviously a response to her faith, a leading that said this in prayer. When she said this, and a man of God was passing, there was a connection. And to let you know that that woman was not barren, she said, if you give me just one, I will give him to you. She had five after. Someone just opened the womb. Five after. Think about it. Because the difficulty she had wasn't from God. It was imposed by the fall of Adam. Hallelujah. I don't know why. My faith is strong when it comes to conception. Because I checked the Bible. No woman was left barren. Who the Bible records was barren. None was left barren. Except the one that spoke against the power of God. That's the only one. Every other one, particularly the testimony of those Elizabeth and that of Sarah, those ones stand out. People that are past age. I told you a story at Redemption Camp the other day. It's been a few years now. The woman was blushing at 51, carrying baby with white hair. Saying, you know, we came here 2 years ago to thank God for his faithfulness. We are here again. The whole camp scattered with praise. They couldn't even complete it. Everybody was shouting. White hair. Sorry, did I say 51? I think it's 59. Yeah. The husband 61. I'm not sure. There's some things that are just difficult to explain. You know, that night, if you came there, a young believer, you say, I need Jesus. You wait for altar call. Said, I am my altar call. The womb, it's not that her hair was visibly white. Visibly white. Things that doctors cannot explain. A young lady that lived a righteous life. I her womb had been removed after 7 abortions. She got saved, stayed in church, serving God. Decided she wasn't going to marry so that she wouldn't have to explain to any man what she can cause. Her. That was the one that a very diligent brother, zealous brother, went after. Even how does God do these things? That's the one you saw every week. See this one. The lady dodged and dodged. Okay, you know what? You keep disturbing me, go and meet pastor. I went to go and meet pastor. Pastor, okay. Assistant, okay, sit down. He told, discuss with the guys, so. Now, this is why, you know, so. Say, hey, did the Bible say if any man be in Christ? Was that not before? And the pastor said, hey, you see, that's true. But she doesn't have womb. He said, yes, I know. That was when she was not in Christ. My heart is, that's who my heart wants. What will you say? 3 months after wedding, she conceived with her womb. And she took her husband to the hospital where they removed the womb, located the doctor. He said, this is my name. Pull out the fire. She brought out the fire. He said, so, sir. This is so, as mom was pregnant. I said, no, that's not possible. That's English. No, that's not possible. Say, I'm the one who did this. Say, this is it. The guy said, sir, I am. I said, what happened? God happened. This is natural order. Then there's divine order. When God steps in, there's divine order. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't say him this how he must do it. No. Let him just do. You have not seen continuous miracles before. That's continuous miracle. We're in that kind of season. In the name of Jesus. We're in that kind of season in the name of Jesus. So I want your faith to reach out. You know, sometimes you just tell yourself, I just want to enjoy God more. I plan to enjoy God before this year rounds up. I'm not just serving, I want to enjoy. It's my father's wealth, my father's abundance, my father's grace, my father's help, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not going to struggle to enjoy it. I'll just believe. Hallelujah. There's rest in believing. There's rest in believing. How nice it would be for you to just say, you know, I've even confessed. Father, you know what? I want a new job. Thank you. Good night. Have you done it before? Yes. Do it now. I mean, why do you have complicated things? I want a new job. These clients I have are not even, I want higher clients. Thank you. Good night. And sleep. You know what you are saying? I won't work. He will do the work. I will receive the blessing. You will be surprised. You'll be very surprised at what God can do. I remember one night like that. I see, ask myself that, what happened to me that day? I was so angry. I didn't have any money. I needed money urgently. I didn't have any money at all. And I wasn't going to borrow. I said, God, see, you can see the kind of condition I'm in. I said, and between now and tomorrow morning, something has to happen. Now, the issue is this. I'm not even in the mood to confess anything. I don't know how you're going to do it. I said, I know that between now and tomorrow morning, you must do something. Thank you. Good night. No, I woke up the next morning. I had forgotten I was hungry the night before. Because I was not in a good mood next morning. So I didn't forget that I ended money down getting next day that, okay, I can't even go out to do one or two things if I don't have that money. So I got up. I was just worshiping God the way I normally would do. I had forgotten about the thing, the transition of the night before. Until I picked my phone to call. While I was sleeping at 2 a.m., money was transferred to my account. He that keepeth Israel, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. I don't know if you hear what I'm trying to say. You are not putting God on the spot, though. You are only exercising your sonship rights that He wants you to enjoy. We needless cares we put on ourselves. Something that is at the snap of a finger like this for Him. But you are not crying on your head. As though He is the child, you are the father. You are the child, He is the father. No, He is your father. Say, He is my father. He takes care of me. He is big enough to be my father. He's big enough to provide the supply. I rest in Him. Let's give Him praise tonight. And thank Him. And thank Him. And thank Him. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your supplies. Thank You because our needs are met. Then because we see our desires fulfilled, oh, we see you rejoicing with us. You rejoice that our testimonies are full. Thank you for the harvest. You rejoice with us that we're getting answers. Thank you, Father. We have the last laugh. We have the last say. Your word is true in our lives. Your faithfulness is beyond question. We are grateful. We are grateful. We thank you for the mighty testimony, healings and miracles wrought in our lives. Our lives never the same again. We receive and we receive and we keep receiving. We are never tired of receiving from you. You are never tired of blessing us. You give to us lavishly. You give to us abundantly. It doesn't matter what the enemy has done. What matters is what you are doing in our lives. You have not just done great things. You are doing great things in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's our strong hold. Your faithfulness is our strong tower. Your faithfulness is our refuge and fortress. It's our shield in everyday affair. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your goodness. We rest in it. We are confident of it. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For it's not over. It's not yet over. The script will play out according as we have spoken. The script will play out according to what you have said to us. The script will play out. We do not lose hope because we are full of hope. And we are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. We are bound in hope. We know in whom we have believed, we are persuaded. Oh, we are persuaded. And that's what you have said and done. We see you play out in our lives. Oh, the enemy has failed over and over again. Our testimony is intact. Our faith is made manifest. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to his name forever. Amen.